Public Works Committee meeting, Tuesday, March 15th, to order. We have Alderman Coke, Alderman Rozjestvo, Alderman Hock, and myself present, as well as staff. Citizens' comments? I see none. Minutes for correction approval from February 16th. Any comments? We will take them as presented then. Moving on, next item, new business, Public Works 2016-13, Countryside Water Main and Roadway Improvements Bid Award.
All right, we took bids on March 3rd. We had seven bidders, which was, I would say, really positive for this size project. Normally, we would expect not to get that type of turnout. The bid tab, detailed bid tab, is attached. A lot of numbers. It's quite detailed from a bidding perspective. There's a lot of working line items, if you will. The bids, especially the top three bidders or low three bidders, were pretty tight at the end of the day. So very favorable bids from the city's perspective. So we are recommending the acceptance of the base bid, plus the award of the two alternates to Geneva Construction in the amount of $4,306,188.03. That's substantially below the engineer's estimate and very favorable, as mentioned before.
Can you explain the alternates a little bit?
Sure. It might be, I think there's an exhibit probably deeper in the packet.
The last agenda item.
Is it the one?
Yeah. Like page
81, 82.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be of assistance. Everybody found that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the base bid is outlined in red, so that what was included as part of that.
Next page.
The alternate bids are shown in green in this particular exhibit. We wanted to add in some projects in case we receive favorable bids to, you know, if the city so elected to go ahead and add them on into the work program. So that was part of the original plan set, so we have hard numbers on that. So that's what those are. They were West Blackberry Lane, Blackberry Court, and a part of Mulhern Court.
So with the alternates, are there any streets in Countryside that we're not going to be redoing?
Yeah, and I don't know if we want to get into kind of the whole funding of the project in general. Might as well. Probably would make sense to touch base on that.
Yes. So did everybody get these pictures sent by somebody to our... Oh, is that the same thing we're talking about here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the section they're talking about is that last little stub on the eastern side of the project. That's Mulhern Court there. Yeah, and so that was one of the alternates that we're recommending to be bid.
So that issue will be resolved by the addition of alternate two.
Correct. That's correct.
And for what Larry's asking, there are four streets that are not included in this, basically.
Essentially, if you're still looking at that exhibit, those are highlighted in yellow or orange, if you will.
The next map. There you go. That one, that one. We are recommending that we would move forward with doing those, most likely. It just wouldn't be part of the initial bid since it wasn't bid out as an alternate. So we would either do a change order if we felt that that was appropriate, or we would go out and do like a separate bid for those. But I mean, given that we've got a contractor on site, we'd probably just do a change order that was approved by City Council before they did it.
Yes.
And we'd still have enough money since these bids came under to pay for this out of this project.
Yes, and the significant part about it is we have so much left over that we would actually propose to take money elsewhere and spread it across town as part of the Road to Better Roads package. So we're still working on that individual recommendation, and that's what we get into in that last agenda item is we're proposing to do every water main in the subdivision except for the areas not highlighted in blue on that next map. And some of those are below some of the orange cul-de-sacs that we would propose to pave. It's just those have a water main break that's lower than the remaining subdivision, and a lot of it is in backyards. So we would propose basically to just suffer through that if there are any breaks in the next 10 to 15 years, and then redo those water mains the next time we go through in the subdivision or redo it. So we felt that that was a reasonable enough solution.
We have an idea of the additional cost on those four. You guys have worked through that.
Yes.
We just don't have that today. I'm sure you have it, but
right.
We don't
no,
have
we,
to get into that.
Yeah, no, we ran some numbers, and based on some discussion between Eric and I, we think the additional orange ones will run us about $400 to $420, plus or minus, which we're projecting would leave us roughly $300,000 extra of funds that we could utilize elsewhere in the city.
Because this is all coming out of the bond proceeds. We are expecting the project to be over the amount of the...
Yeah, initially we didn't...
total bond.
Yeah, initially we didn't think we could accomplish as much as... Correct.
Correct.
Right. Correct.
Well, the bond proceeds were only a partial funding source for the entire project, remember?
Because what we've done, because what the base bid two alternates are versus what the total estimate was for the base bid and the two alternates, that was $5.4 million, so we're below that. But that's not cash on hand because it's the difference of what we had to fund out of general fund.
We had planned to spend about I'm going to use round numbers here.
Right.
$5.5 million. We budgeted for $5.5 million between water and pavement improvements. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that this part of it came in so far under means that we do have actual budgeted funds available that can be spent elsewhere.
Right. It's just we had a difference of what we were thinking we might have to come up with if we chose to do everything.
Yep. Yes.
We have to come up with monies out of general fund to do all of it. That's why we broke it into three pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay. Because if you do the math, it's not a $1.1 million savings. It's less than that because we don't have the cash now. We're only anticipating using the cash that we have had budgeted.
I'll break it out into a spreadsheet and send it out to everybody afterwards. We do have the cash on hand.
We anticipated doing $5.5 million.
Yes.
Because we were taking the bond proceeds and other funding sources.
Yes.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm...
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's the way I wanted to get at it, is it's not all bond proceeds. We had other funding.
Yes.
And so that other funding we are going to allocate elsewhere to the best extent we can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our latter item is going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There is some potential division between funds, for lack of a better term, I'll call it a shell game, that we do with the fees that Rob and I still have to work through. You know, we might have to, like, lower the water fee by $1 in order to increase the road fee by $1 to make sure that all the fees are going to the correct things to complete the projects. But it would be no impact, basically, to the residents, just how it's allocated. So,
Larry, you got something?
Yeah, just so I'm clear on this now, the roads that we originally didn't think we were going to be able to do were mainly cul-de-sacs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if I heard correctly last meeting, some of those really aren't in terrible shape. I'm all for doing them. I just don't want to do them for the sake of doing them.
Sure.
Do they need to be done?
Yes, we're not doing them just for the sake of doing them. They were passable if the bids came in higher than what we anticipated. They would and could survive till the next round. But since we have the opportunity to do them, it would be my recommendation to do them because...
And I agree. I agree 100% with that. You know, it's going to be cost effective now that we've got them out there working already.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a generic question, though. It seems like over the last couple of years, we consistently are coming in under bid. Are you guys doing some type of bidding or analysis here that's maybe a worst-case scenario or something? How do you explain this?
I think there are several factors that come into bidding. One is timing. You know, timing is everything, right? So I think something that we've worked out over the last couple of years is try to get our projects out early in the bidding season, if you will. So hit late winter or early spring, you're definitely going to see better bidding. I think there's other factors. I think there's contractors are hungry right now.
Seven bidders on this job is huge.
I think we would have been happy with three. That's what we expected, is three bidders on this size of a project. So I think there's not a lot of work out there maybe at the moment, so people are trying to secure work, which is obviously to the benefit of the city. I'm sure fuel prices are coming into play a little bit too. We bid quite a bit of work, and we bid, it's at least a trend thus far this year, is bidding has been very, very favorable, running anywhere from 10 to 15% below what would be expected. So,
and asphalt, no fuel prices, influence asphalt prices. We've seen that much lower. And just an example here, the winning bidder bid $62 a foot for water main. And there were, the other bidders were on their way at $85 and $120. So that's how hungry they were to get this job.
And believe me, I'm glad.
Oh, yeah, no. It
seemed like there was a substantial difference between your estimate. We've seen this before, and I'm just kind of curious why this is happening.
We've done similar sized projects in neighboring communities where we had pretty good numbers. So we kind of took those bid numbers, which were had happened over the last 2 years, and kind of used those as guiding numbers for this project, and this project kind of blew that out of the water. So.
And to knock EEI's estimates down a peg or two, I suppose, but there have been a couple projects within the past few years that have been underestimated, and the bids have come in. Baseline Road Closure is one of them. I think it was Kennedy Road was another one that came in a little bit higher than bid estimates.
Right.
So
it
is part art, part science.
Right.
So
they still had two right on the money with their bid.
Yeah.
So to me, this was just competitive bidding.
Whatever it is, keep doing it.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I said too. I was very happy when they opened the bids.
I kind of would rather be that way than the other way.
Yeah, absolutely.
we've had it the other way when they had to come back to us after Hurricane Katrina and ask for a $225,000 increase.
I remember that. IDOT's estimates have been usually right on line or even under recently, too. So, if EEI is overestimating, then the state is underestimating, and somewhere within the budget, I still don't have a whole lot of money. So.
Well, the Road to Better Roads project, which we'll be talking about next, is the same thing, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else on this one? So we will move this to consent agenda, if no one objects. Moving on, 2016-14, the 2016 Road to Better Roads program bid award.
Yes, we took bids toward the end of February on the 29th. We had our typical bidders for our road program. These are basically the three players when it comes to roadway construction in the area. Again, bids were very favorable, well below our engineer's estimate. Deconstruction being the low bidder, you're familiar with they've done our program work here over the last couple of years. So we are recommending acceptance of the bid, 2D, in the amount of $515,056.39.
Any comments?
Yeah, just since we've come in quite a bit under here, are we looking to add some projects? And the one we talked about last year was that alleyway you wanted to get paved between State and Main. Is there any closer on there, or do you want to put that off another year?
That's probably going to happen, hopefully, in the next year with the Main Street and
when
Washington
they do Main,
Street.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at actually the last two, the northerly two blocks of Fremont Street to go all the way to Walnut. That was supposed to be done by Heartland Meadows when they developed it. Like they're not developing right now. So
we could recapture on that?
We can look at their agreement.
Because I thought they were paying for that part.
They would be expected to grade it as part of the development of the subdivision. So, yeah, we would we would ask for reimbursement.
Yeah, they had some utility crossings that were planned there.
Right, so they'll have to redo it anyway.
But
if and when they develop.
Yeah. As you guys know, the road is pretty poor.
And I agree that section needs it.
Yeah. I know a lot of times it's good to hold just a little back because if you're ending one section and you see something more that needs to be done right there, we can just add on to it. Or get some more sidewalk that's in that program or in that area.
Yeah, we roughly have $100,000 plus or minus to play with. So
this was 112 under budget or underestimate.
Yeah. So we were. The plan would be to come back with a change order probably at the next meeting with the final recommendation.
Yes. So next month we'll have two. We'll have Countryside and we'll have this one for expanded road, yes. Better roads.
Yes.
Not run off. Not at $2 million a year, but...
Yeah.
This is a big year. We're going to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Any other comments on that one? We'll move that to consent if no one objects. 10-16-15. Mill Street, LAFO, IDOT bid review.
Okay, busy month for bidding projects, but the Mill Street LAFO was on the IDOT bid letting on March 5th. So this is just a memo informing you of the results. It's just informational only. IDOT handles the bidding and contracting and will provide us with the appropriate documentation once they're ready. But deconstruction is a low bidder. $157,730.33, which again was substantially below our estimate. So that's also positive news. Just a reminder on schedule, we anticipate doing this while school is out of session, so we'll probably start in June and have it wrapped up by August or mid-August.
This goes from 126
to Washington, I believe, yes.
And this one, since we're $59,000 under, we're going to reinvest this into this project to upgrade the road, correct?
And I just looked at it today. Actually, I drove it, and we could already need to go a block further north. Right south of Fox Street, there's a bad area already. And that was only done in 2007, but it's
That's what I was going to say. Walking there, it's not looking really good.
No.
Between
Fox and Washington. So I'll work with the EI and see if we can't do that change order.
Yes, there are some limitations because it is a federal job.
Right.
It is a LAFO
right.
job, so we can expand it a little bit.
Yeah.
But we have to be careful. We still have to fall within certain parameters.
It's easier to add thickness to the pavement than
we can
in most instances.
Cheat a little bit, but there is a limit and how much you can add.
Before it becomes wasteful, and
right.
they say that's
it's actually pretty bad there.
Yeah, this would just be it would strictly be a grind and pave.
Okay. Yeah.
It would not be we could just grind and repave the surfaces. So hopefully we could get that under the square yards and tonnage.
And we talked about this. There's no gutters going in. It's good.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Because if you go there, it's probably from the house. So you go walk the sidewalk there. Walking. It's got all the street. You can tell the street. It's all on the sidewalk
mm-hmm.
that it picked it up. So the street is really bad there, closer to Fox.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It'd be nice if you could go to Fox because I think the section north of there is in still pretty good shape.
It's nice. The hill is up.
It's just that one block. Actually, half of that one block.
It actually, since D is the contractor for both projects, our Road to Better Roads and the LAFO. I think we
can
accomplish
mix and match.
It. I just don't know. I don't think we can add limits.
To the
LAFO because that's already been set and determined. But since D's the same contractor, I'm sure
it'd just be a shame. It would
be efficient for them to get it
done. Because the hill's okay.
And maybe we do that if we still have money left after Fremont.
Yeah.
And do it in the RTBR.
Yeah, which we should.
We should.
Because if we don't use all the LAFO lines, it just goes away.
Correct.
We need to make sure we use all of that.
We'll spend as much as we can within the limits.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have a problem.
Okay.
And I like your idea about making it a better surface because it does get a lot of bus traffic there, more than most side streets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
any idea why that section is just, I mean, it's really, mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
The section by, yeah, Fox Street?
Yeah.
I do. Nobody likes to hear my answer, though.
What is it?
It's that giant oak tree. It never dries out. That pavement never, ever, ever dries out.
That's true. The shady there
all the time. And if you notice it next time, like as your driver, stand on the road and look. Look at the shape of the oak tree and look right where it's bad.
If I go for my walk tonight, I'll check that out.
It is amazing.
Sometimes we cut the street there, yep, and it's, I couldn't believe it. And like I said, the sidewalk. The other thing too is there's, if I remember right, is there a drain there in the...
Off the yard to the yard.
Off the yard. Yeah. I didn't know how that affected it, because it's like I said, if you go and you look at the sidewalk, you see all the streets on the
sidewalk. All the street is.
In that parkway there.
Yep.
Anything else on this one? This one's informational. We'll get it. Will we have that contract back to us?
Usually the contract, IDOT handles all the contracting.
We don't do anything with it. Will we see it or no?
Yeah, the next time, let's see, I'm trying to remember if we've seen a joint agreement. I don't think we have.
Not yet.
Well, I don't know.
So,
that's fine. So the joint we've already authorized.
Yeah, the joint agreement will finalize the funding for construction. I can't remember if we've seen that or not. But it's the actual contract for construction we will not see. We will just basically have a pre-construction meeting with IDOT, which will be kind of the official kickoff of the project. And then we'll issue a press release and basically start construction.
So the state budget situation isn't going to delay this?
No. It's basically federal money that's filtered through the state.
Something they can't detour the money.
Not yet.
They haven't figured out what to do yet. Okay, moving on. 2016-16, the MFT General Maintenance Appropriation Resolution for fiscal year 2017.
If we could, can we take 4 and 5 together?
Yes, and 2016-17, the Hot Mix Cold Mix.
The Hot Mix Cold Mix actually is internal to the resolution. And we do have the results. I have actually results for everyone here and the completed pages now that we have the results. Bart, do you want a paper or do you just want the computer copies? Computer copies. That's what I thought. Brad, do you want a copy to look at? Marla, here's turn to the back page, the hot mix and cold patch, which my cover memo was sitting on my desk back at the office. So I did highlight my recommendation, which was deconstruction. They did come in just underneath Geneva Construction, and they are actually located a little closer down on Route 47 right there, right past 52. So since it is over 20,000, IDOT does make us bid this and do the RFP. Hot mix came in lower than expected. Cold mix came in higher than expected. And as far as that fitting into the MFT, if you turn to the previous page, you can see right where it fits in and where the cost now is a total cost of $257,000, $257,650. Mm-hmm. This also includes our electricity for the year for the streetlights. Yes, and I reduced the tonnage of salt to 1,200, and we're only going to use an 80% contract. There's nothing out of the ordinary on here. Pretty straightforward.
I think it looks good. Honestly, I don't think either bidder, deconstruction or Geneva, we are using both of them, so their prices are very, very close.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
But looking at the tonnage of hot mix, we're going to use more of that, so I'm glad that's a lower rate.
Yeah, and that's
exactly, user estimates.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I quoted on the bid sheet was the less by using
so
the numbers.
If we use less, we pay less.
Correct.
If we use more, it's still favorable to us.
Correct.
Okay. So, both of these, any questions on either one, the general maintenance appropriation or the hot mix and cold patch? For both of those, we'll move those to consent.
And I will get the cover memo and these documents to Lisa tomorrow. She can put it in the packet.
Okay. Next item, 2016-18, well number 8, rehab change order number 2, or change balance.
All right, in February we mentioned when we discussed change order number one, there would be one more change order. Here it is, number two. This will be the final one. The contract work is essentially complete. The contractor's left the site. The well is back online and operational. So this is basically just kind of a balancing change order to kind of close out the project. It is a net increase of $1,567.00, and we are recommending approval of this change order.
Questions and comments? Nothing seen down the line. We're still below what the potential contract could have been.
Oh, I was very happy.
Yes.
Under $100,000.
Very happy.
All right. Consent? Any objections? Jackie, we're doing well for you. 2016-19, Cannell County Transportation Alternative, KC TAP Route 47 sidewalks.
Real simple, they gave us $35,000 this year. So they closed out the project basically for us. We've already incurred way more than that in actual expenditures on the 47 project. So that'll close it out and then allow us basically to apply for something else next year if we want to do some sidewalk improvements.
So with this one, we're going to appropriate it. How's this one going to be appropriated in the budget?
Oh, well, it's all revenue. We've already done the expenditures. So we have a 10-year payback planned for an MFT, the downtown TIF, water and sewer. Mm-hmm. And so we would just allocate it
just
to
comes out of
one of those
one
two.
Of those line items. Mm-hmm.
So it just chips away at what we owe.
Yeah.
Yep. But at this point,
it's new revenue.
$35,000 as compared to $5,000.
Yep. We'll take it.
But that takes care of this grant because it was a cap of $50,000. So we've now done that. Now let's see what else we can get out of the county, out of our tax dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. This one we move to city council consent again. Okay, 2016-20 Wyndette Ridge traffic control requests. I'm going to go one at a time, just kind of talk through real quick.
Yeah, we sure can. So we had a couple requests out in Wyndette Ridge. So we basically kind of went out and did a drive-through of the entire development. And two intersections, we are recommending adding stop control. So they're noted here on the agenda. First one is at Fairfax Way in Wyndette Ridge. Basically kind of going through the typical analysis. There is a little bit of a site distance issue at a homeowner on the northeast corner. There's a fence and some landscaping that cause a little bit of a site distance issue as you approach the intersection. So we are recommending the stop control at that location. The other location is at Claremont and Wyndette Ridge Road. Similar situation where there's some landscaping and what have you that also caused a little bit of a site issue. So we're recommending stop sign control at that intersection as well. So our normal detailed packets and pictures are attached. If you have any questions, we can certainly address those.
I know we don't like to put these in typically if we don't have to, but this one had the warrant for it, so...
Plus, because a lot of the school traffic goes through there, too, so that really makes a big deal.
Right. There's the traffic counts and the other issues. I don't see any issues with these, so we're moving forward to... Actually, these do go to council for approval?
Yes.
So, consent again? All right. Next item up for bidding. 2015-45, e-waste recycling. Do we have an update?
We do not.
Okay.
We can bring it back. I will try. It's just touching base with her is hard to get in the time, so I'm busy even harder.
Okay.
Yes.
Not that it's e-waste, but something that's cool I noticed at the former Castle Bank, was First National Bank of Omaha. They are having a date coming up here in April that they'll shred for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple of the businesses do that throughout town.
Yeah. Yeah, I never noticed that before, and they had little stickers. You don't go in all the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a few of them that'll do the
bring your shred. And they'll shred it for you.
And secure shred. Mm-hmm. All right, so maybe we'll see something on e-waste next.
month? Yeah, just a question. When we see opportunities like what Jackie just mentioned, can we get these out on Facebook or something so our residents are aware of them?
Yeah. Yeah. When we see.
Yeah, I have it at home. I can fix it. Yep. The beginning of April.
Okay. Anything else? All right. 2016-04, Countryside Subdivision Water Main and Roadway Improvements.
So we kind of talked about this one already, but the maps in the packet I think are just a good indication of what we're actually planning on doing. And so just to kind of recap again, even though we've already moved the actual bid amounts forward, but we are recommending that we would do all the roads in the subdivision pavement, most of the water mains, and those are highlighted in blue in the second map. And then on the first map, the areas that are highlighted in blue is the possible LAFO. We are recommending, as a result of the bids on the water and the pavement project, because they were so favorable, just to scrap the idea of a roundabout for now, scrap the idea of reducing the lane widths and lane counts. We're thinking a simple millet overlay, take advantage of the LAFO funds that are there. It's going to allow us really to take funds and spread them out throughout the rest of the town and start to chip away at some of our unfunded capital projects. So, we're talking about it, and we want the safety aspect of the roundabout. I like the idea that we're starting to be able to make decisions that have a positive impact on, finances 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, so that we're not continuing to dig ourselves in holes financially. But it was a 1.5 to 2 time life cycle on the pavement before the roundabout pays for itself. So, when we're looking at a couple $100,000 being able to be spread elsewhere, I think we'd rather do that now and hopefully, either restripe the intersection or do something related to a couple different traffic control measures that'll just make the layout of the intersection a little bit less awkward and still improve safety. So that is our recommendation. But, the options that were there at the last meeting are still on the table. We certainly could divert the $300,000 or $400,000 that we have extra from the base bid towards a roundabout. It's just, I think that we'd all prefer to just pave roads elsewhere.
I'm all in favor of not doing the roundabout at this time. While I do like it, I think it'd be great, with some creative striping, designated right turn lanes in certain areas. It would definitely help to alleviate the issues of what are the actual traffic maneuvers around there. So I think if we move forward with the LAFO, maximize the funding that is available to us, I think that would be great on Countryside and Center, and then appropriate some monies of that for the striping. I assume we can redo striping within that, with the millet overlay, or does that exceed hours? That
we can do it within.
So, as long as we're staying within that, I think that's smart on our part to put that few $100,000 elsewhere, get the better bang for our buck. I'm not saying I wouldn't want a roundabout there because I think it would be a great asset, but we have to be realistic with our abilities here.
I think we all feel that way. I think the roundabout would have been something that we could be proud of and eliminate a safety issue, but we can surely use it in other places.
Larry?
I agree. I said last night, I think it's a neat idea. But we've got so many other projects we need to get to that I think we can put this money to better use right now. And it's something we can revisit. I mean, if things really go great in 5-6 years from now, hey, let's take another look at it. But there's too much on the table now that needs to get done to do something like this.
Absolutely. So, with that, this one we don't have an action item. This is a informational.
I think the action item would be that you would direct us to proceed with the LAFO program, simple mill and overlay, and then I forget where we're at exactly with the engineering contract and the approvals needed by IDOT, but that we would continue down that path instead of trying to do the roundabout.
Yeah, basically what we would need to do now is submit a letter to the Council of Mayors requesting this project to be moved up into the program. And then they do like to see the project moving forward with engineering. So once we submit our letter, you know, we'll have to commit, and then we'll probably follow up with engineering agreement and move that forward. Yes.
So we'll see relatively soon. We'll see the grant application and then the engineering grant agreement for Countryside and Center. And then we'll also see a expanded contract or a separate contract for the four roads within the development. So that'll take care of all of the Countryside.
Yeah, the we're already on the, I guess a grant application would not be necessary because we're already on the
list. We just have to request them to move it.
Yeah, we have to request it to move it up to a five-year program. So they have a meeting on April 21st. So I've already met with them and discussed the possibility of the lateral and moving it forward. So as long as we get the letter in the first week of April, we should be good to go to get on the agenda. And then we'll just have to see how things shake out. There are other communities requesting the same. So we'll just have to see how the money breaks down. But the target would be to be ready for construction in 2017. But there's no guarantees on that yet, but we'll know toward the end of April.
And that's feasible. If they say yes to us on this project, your engineering agreement is executed. That gives us time to get the plans put together, out to bid, and be ready to go in spring of 2017.
Yes, we could hit a letting in probably March or April 2017.
Yes. We'd be ready to go for it.
Yes.
That project is a few months. No, that's not even that.
Construction-wise? No, and I will say this too, and Eric and I have mentioned this, the islands on Center and Countryside, pretty much we have to replace like 100% of the curb. So that's way beyond what a LAFO typically allows the parameters you can work within. So we'll be replacing the curb as a part of the project you discussed tonight with Geneva Construction. So there will be some work done out there, but there won't be any milling and overlaying, but we'll see curb removal and replacement.
They'll be on there doing that on occasional patches.
Yes.
Okay.
We had an open house on this for the residents.
Yes.
And that's what prompted that one letter, I believe, that they saw that their cul-de-sac wasn't being...
Correct.
How are we planning on putting out some kind of press release to them, letting them know that it's now included and this is a new plan? What are the thoughts on that?
Yeah. Whenever we get ready to, you know, notify the residents just about a general timeline and phone numbers, you know, to call in case they have issues, you know, we would include the new map with that.
And you just give me some kind of time frame you're looking at for that.
Well, the contract to Geneva should be awarded a week from tonight. Typically, you know, we would have a pre-construction meeting within 2 weeks of that. So maybe 3 weeks from today, we should have a meeting, so we'll learn more about their schedule, how they plan to attack the project, where they want to start, and then once we have that information, we were thinking that'd be a good time to send out an updated, you know, information packet to the residents. So probably at that time we would, you know, show the new map and highlight, you know, the additional work.
May-ish, probably.
Early May. I'd say mid-April.
Okay.
Mid-April.
I'd say we may have the flyer for the public works meeting.
Yeah.
It'd be close.
Could be.
Yeah, I think they're, with the amount of work that's there, they're going to want to get started pretty darn soon. So I would anticipate construction starting mid-April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tremendous amount of work
to accomplish. Keep up our PR piece here on this one and make sure that the residents are well informed.
Absolutely.
All of our social media, make sure that, as Larry says, we inform them. So this will impact a lot of lives up there.
Yes.
Unfortunately, many of the residents that live there do not have social media.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
And that's really not good.
That's why we're doing
the
door
hangers.
Yes.
The letter. So social media is nice for anybody who has to, or
drive
has
there,
but who cuts through there.
Yeah, we the first go around, we did mailings, so we did social media, we did some door hangers in some certain cases, so we'll do the same blitz again when that time happens. So.
Sounds good. We have direction. Yes. Okay. Any additional business?
One of the items, I think I talked to Bart about this, that was in December from Winnedette, about the two entrances, maybe putting some reflective paint on the curbs there. Because they have one light, but it's one of those yellower lights, so it's not very well lit. And you really have to be careful. I went out to verify what they were telling me, and yeah, it is hard to see the curbs as you pull into the subdivisions. And I guess that Bart told me that is our responsibility as city curbs. So they were thinking, you know, if you just reflective, that yellow reflective paint, that lights, the lights will show it up. They'll see when they come pulling in. Because for some reason they use the lighting, not really that great for an entrance, but that's what's there. And it's a both entrance, so it's similar. So, and the other thing I want to mention is Walsh is, I don't know if you drove out there recently, but it's all
potholes.
Well, I mean, you got some sections probably where you need to do the squares.
Yep, we'll
and cut them out. Yeah, because actually, as you're turning from the T,
yep,
there, and then actually cut down, then down back towards Barbary, which we're going to do those down the road. But
right,
you may have to do a little fixing there.
Yes, we will. We saw that coming last year.
On the curb, too, if we think it's an issue, we said that we would ask Cal Atlantic to do it. We've accepted the road, so it would be our responsibility to at least replace the curbs. We don't usually do reflective painting, but I think Brad was going to go out there and take a look, and if it was warranted, then we would consider it.
And it's not that the whole thing is just like kind of returning that.
Yeah.
So you like shining.
Okay.
What about some of those reflectors that just stick around? I know we did that by Smokies that one time before they reconfigured that. That catches your eye too pretty good.
Well, the paint should be easy, because I remember they had me, when I was in tech school, they put them in the turnpike, and I painted all those curves. Give me a can of paint, that'd be out there.
We have them?
Yeah, it's on the
screen. What are you doing, Sam?
I think we can make that happen. Anything else?
Route 47 streetlights, we have any update?
The flashing beacons?
I'll tell you something. I was driving to work a couple of days ago, and I came by there, and there were some construction workers standing right by the crosswalk. It's getting done. And I thought, nah, he's probably working on the streetlights or something.
Any update on the procurement?
Yeah, the streetlights are actually delayed again at IDOT. So we've been working back and forth with, I guess, a tech who's known for being, or an engineer who's known for being fairly strict on lighting issues. If you recall, we had submitted the original plan, and they came back to us and said, no, you need to do this lighting study to look at the traffic lighting on the bridge. So we did that, resubmitted it. They denied it at the end of January, I believe. So we've been going back and forth with them on some ballast designs on the existing lights, which I think the ones that we originally submitted, they don't make them anymore. Right. So we've had to swap out like technical spec type issues on the actual streetlight ballast. And so hopefully within the next week or two, that should be getting approved by IDOT. But at that point, we can't. The manufacturer won't process the order until IDOT approves the plans.
Who do we need to get on the phone with and scream at them, because this is absolutely ridiculous? On IDOT's part, the manufacturer, there are no contingencies to kick this petitioner in the or this supplier in the back end for the original issue. But IDOT's got to get off their butt and get this done. I mean, the rest of the project is done. We need to get this one streamlined, figure out how to get this person dealt with and get our project completed.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got an agreement with IDOT to get this done.
Yes.
Yeah, this gentleman's been around for a long, long time. Mark Sapelt is his name down in Springfield. You know, every time you hear of lighting issues or delays associated with all traffic signals or highway lighting, he's the name that always comes up. So we're this close. We had to work through some fairly significant issues, I would say, just after the first of the year.
But this project was approved as designed? And then he came back with another issue?
I think some
of
the...
Is that how that worked through?
Some of the information, the approved drawings back 5, 6, 7 years ago, some of that I think was missing in translation somewhere. It was difficulty finding them in IDOT's files, the manufacturer, Sternberg, you know, perhaps didn't have the best of documentation. I know I searched files here at the city. You know, I found a few things, but probably not what exactly they were looking for. But so that was part of the issue, just the delay, you know, 5-6 years old design, finally getting to this point. But then, you know, there were some other, there was delays on, certainly on the manufacturer's side as well. So, but we're there. We just need one more submittal. We think we have it. We're looking to have them approved here relatively quickly. So.
I mean, the fact that the ballasts are no longer acceptable on there because they're not made, this sounds like it's something that somebody's tweaking this one, and this should have been dealt with, I would think, much sooner. I mean, if, yes, if we're coming back and doing last-minute delays after we were already told that, yeah, we were going to have them, but then somebody didn't order them, that put them on delay. It's not acceptable to me that we're having to wait this much longer for this project to get done.
Agreed.
I mean, this is bad government. IDOT's government, this is bad government. You got a bureaucracy that's not doing their job, is the way I see it. So,
yes,
whatever we need to do to get on the horn with the director and start chewing, do it.
You know, the IDOT, the I is Illinois.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't care how long he's been there. If it's a single person that's a problem, I'd like to see some action. I want to see these get done and installed this year. Actually, I'd like to see them installed within the next month or two. But, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. We've waited way too long for this.
Realistically, when do you think these may go up?
They say once shop drawings are approved, it's another probably 16 weeks before they arrive on site. Sternberg said possibly they can get them here within 12. So,
hometown days. I was going to say, hometown days.
Hometown days.
Is my flashing beacon in with this order, too? Or?
We've made some progress.
Well, those ballasts haven't been made for years, Larry. Yeah.
So we needed a couple different things. We needed a letter from the feds giving us approval. We have that. We made a submittal to IDOT. IDOT has provided review comments, and we actually have resubmitted the lighting back to them. So we should have approval from them, I would say, relatively quickly. Once we have that, then, you know, it's a matter of ordering the product.
Those lights first.
They very well may be up first, yes.
Make them real tall and they'll shine down. Yeah. I don't know.
No, there's height parameters. That's part of the review comments, I'm sure.
For the Route 47 lights, can we, as we have any information, as we press them, it'll have some email updates?
Yep. Yes.
All right. I don't mind having other people or mayor or others calling and yelling at people to try to help speed this thing up a little.
Just one more thing, and I'm not trying to prolong this meeting or anything, but when we met with the sanitary district, there were a lot of up-in-the-air issues going on at that time. Has any of that been resolved? Have we heard anything?
They've been moving forward on due diligence for different upgrades to their plant. That would increase capacity. I'm less familiar with what the status is on those than I am with the things that we've moved forward with doing on sewer rehab, and then also our request to them to fund their own sewer rehab. That way it cuts down on I&I in the system, and then reduces their overall, it improves their plant capacity. They told us, they told me a few weeks ago, one of the board members did, that they might be interested in doing some targeted improvements, but they need to do more studies and actually before they would pay for them themselves. But they would be willing to give us a short or a low-interest loan if we really wanted to get a whole bunch of items done. I rejected that offer. I said, you know, cash flow isn't the problem for us, at least in the sewer department. You know, in the sewer department, we need projects that are going to be completed and checked off the list. And a lot of the things that we're doing in the next 5 years are going to benefit them. So they should be able to piggyback on what we're doing and really cut down on a lot of the infiltration issues that we have on the south side. So. So, you know, I'm hoping that either within the remaining last year of Kevin's tenure, or, you know, as the board tries to figure out, you know, that it's probably a little bit cheaper for them to do some of these improvements than it would be to, like, you know, upgrade a large portion of their plant, that they'll then come back to us and say, you know, okay, yes, we'll spend $150,000 or whatever it is on some projects.
They have said they would pay to do high and high.
Yeah.
We just don't have an agreement to do that, and now they want some more studies before we... before they'll commit to that polling.
They approve of the concept.
Right.
They're not totally sure. They're not convinced that our sewer rehab improvements would actually reduce their INI. So that's why they want to do this study to figure out what the actual improvement is and then where they can get the biggest bang for their buck. Because they have no interest in just lining our city sewers, even though there is an INI issue there. They want to go to, like, the worst areas and see a significant return, which I guess I don't blame them for. But to me, who's a non-engineer and somebody who doesn't get involved with the day-to-day of public works, it seems like it's pretty significant, the amount of improvements that we're doing and the potential, you know, improvement to the plant as far as capacity goes. But I guess they disagree or don't see it or what.
So. Is there any more discussion about them merging with Fax Metro?
They've told us that that's off the table. They said that they are planning on going up for a search for an executive director here shortly. That way they've got another about a year before Kevin retires. And he had actually pushed back his retirement date so that there would be more overlap than not. So, you know, so at the admin committee level, we've kind of held off at least on studying a consolidation issue. It's something I think long term that, you know, it could still be done eventually, but I don't see a reason to push it right now. So.
Okay. That's all I have.
All right. We will adjourn at 5:51.